Lord, I pray you fill me up with the Holy Spirit and just bless any ear that is on this podcast right now, and that their hearts would be filled with the joy of your scriptures and your promises, and that I would grow, Lord. I would grow even through this, even through being used. You grow me in my own life, Lord, and you bear fruit in my walk, Lord Jesus. I pray that you bless, again, everyone that's listening to this with a Holy Spirit perspective of life. In your name, Jesus, amen. The biggest lie and most successful lie of Satan, it's quite a trip, and I wanted to talk about it today because most likely we all are believing it every day in some context, and we have believed it, and I want to talk about it. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any other beast of the field the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yeah, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you will not surely die, for God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now go over in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Let's see Satan at work in the desert with Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, it says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But of course, Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The devil takes him up into a holy city and sets him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he says, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil takes him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and shows him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And Jesus said unto him, Get thee, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall I serve. Now, when I look at these scriptures, and you know, maybe you see something else, the Lord is impressing something different in your heart. But when I look at all these scriptures, there's one theme that really just emerges from this. And then I see the same lies and temptations coming from Satan in my life, personal life. I see the same lies from when I look at scripture, when I look at different characters that God has given us the ability to observe from the scriptures. And I see this one consistent lie, and it's this. It is the lie that we are missing out. The biggest lie that Satan tells you in some way every day is that you are missing out. In some way, you're missing out. Whether it be you're missing out of something in marriage, whether it be you're missing out on something in finances, whether you're missing out on something in comforts or success or career or what you could have, what you could own, or ministry, whether it be physical, your looks, whether it be something to satisfy, food or whatever it may be, that there's just this, he just gives you this a lie that there is something better for you than what you have right now, and that you can obtain it through fleshly means, through carnal means. And of course, you know, the scripture says that to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. So we already know that those are lies. But that, I think, is such a big trip up. And I just want to caution you, if you're listening, look at your life. And I, you know, before I even put this together or decided to speak on this, I had to look and ask, what are some things in my life? And I know of that I'm very sensitive to that lie in that area of my life. You know, he's not going to get me with, you're missing out on getting a drink. You know, like, you know, taking that drink of alcohol, because I don't, you know, that the God's strengthened me and he's given me resiliency to alcohol. I don't desire that by God's power. But, you know, maybe if it comes to something else, I'm not so strong there, you know. Maybe, you know, you're missing out on being respected by your wife. Or Mike, you're missing out on being acknowledged in this way. Or maybe a career or whatever have you. Won't be so as strong as maybe in other areas. And I just encourage you to think about those things of, you know, what is it, and what is it in your life where you've seen Satan make you feel like you need that thing? You need that justice. You need that attention. You need that desire met, that lust met. And you'll find that sin is behind it. And I wanted to share with you some scriptures of how can you know, though, that that's not true. You know, so it's not just Mike Ryan saying, well, no, it's not true. It's a lie. It is a lie. I can tell you why it's a lie. We can go to some scriptures just to encourage all of us, because it's good to know and be reminded of the promises that God has for us. But let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, I love it. It says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Meaning, you know, the context is people having you try to hold up customs, or you need to do this, you need to do that. And really, it's kind of the same context. You're missing out if you don't do this. You're missing out if you don't do that. You know, in the church, people have done that. If you're not serving this ministry, if you're not speaking tongues, if you're not, people have said it, you know, you're missing out. And Paul's day, he's warning people, saying, well, if you're not circumcised, then you're not really saved. But what does he say? He says, be careful of those people who are trying to spoil you, right? And he says, they're trying to spoil you through the philosophy of vain deceit and not after Christ. They're not having your mind after Christ. But he says this very powerful, very, very, very powerful thing in verse 10. He says, and you are complete in him. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So Jesus Christ has made you complete. That is such an amazing promise. Wow, you are complete in Christ. You don't lack any good thing. You don't lack any good thing. Wow. That is amazing. That is an amazing promise that in Jesus Christ, because of what he's done for us on the cross, because of his resurrection, demonstrating that what he said and promised is all true, I don't lack anything. Ephesians 1:3 echoes this, where it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. Because of Jesus Christ, you have access to all the blessings that are possible in heaven and in heavenly places. I mean, it really, And it's good to just sit and think about that and just let it filter through all of us and all our circumstances and all of our fears. Wow. I've been blessed with every single possible spiritual blessing there is that for a creature, for a person to have. I've received all those things. I am totally complete in Christ. Any incompleteness in me would indicate an incompleteness in the work of Christ, because it's all through the work of Christ. Any incompleteness I perceive in me, I'm really saying there's an incompleteness in the work in Christ. A relationship with Jesus Christ as a born-again Christian is the most valuable thing a person can have. Someone's missing out if they don't have and is walking in that. Philippians 3:8 says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count, and I count all things but loss for what? The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." And he says, "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." The spiritual perspective is Christ is better. Christ is better. I'm not missing out. Maybe there are things I don't have right now. I may have things that I feel like I need right now. But the minute I feel as though now I'm missing out or that something's lacking in me, well, then I have a problem, because I'm saved and I'm in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm in a relationship with Father God, and He will bless me with all the things I need. Well, where does it say that? Well, in Psalm 84, verse 11, it says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." The Lord is not going to withhold anything from you. Just serve God. Just follow Jesus Christ. He's not going to withhold anything good from you. He promises that. There's not one thing that the Lord will withhold from you if you walk uprightly. You walk uprightly, He'll bless you with every good thing that you need, on top of the best thing that you can have, and that's Jesus Christ. He will bless you. That's a promise. There's nothing outside of a spirit-led life that you need. In Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, "Thou will show me, you will show me the path of life. And thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." It's in God's presence, it's in fellowship with Jesus Christ, where we find fullness of joy. Can we find joy with other things? Of course we can find joy with our families. We can find joy in maybe perhaps a career or an achievement. There's joy there. But fullness of joy, complete joy that will have eternal dividends, is in the presence of Jesus Christ. It's in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's in an obedient relationship with Jesus Christ. Because look, everyone has a relationship to Jesus Christ. That relationship could just be a relationship of an enemy. You're either an enemy or His brother. That's how it is. Jesus Christ said, "You're either with us or you're against us." You know? So everyone has a relationship to Jesus Christ. You're either His enemy, and that's your relationship, or you're His friend, you're His brother, or His sister. It's an obedient relationship to Jesus Christ. Man, that's where we begin to tap into all that God has for us, because He won't withhold anything from someone who walks uprightly. And there's so many promises. I just happen to name a few, just to keep this under a certain time. But I just felt led to encourage you in that way, and just say, hey, you know, don't let that lie come to you. And I want to share this one last point, and maybe I saved the best for last. But Galatians 5:22. And if you've been listening to my podcast, you've been hearing, I talk about this a lot. The Bible says, look, it's clear that anyone who's born again, you've been sealed with the Spirit of promise. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. That you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, the Holy Spirit who you sealed with, The scripture says in Galatians 5:22 that he does something amazing. He produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's a love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Holy Spirit himself produces that in you. He produces that in you. You're never missing out when you have a person who's ready to produce supernatural spiritual joy, supernatural spiritual peace, supernatural spiritual love, supernatural spiritual self-control, supernatural spiritual faith and goodness and gentleness and kindness. I mean, we are talking about possessing, we are more than conquerors in Christ. When you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you always have the ability to access those things. And as I mentioned in my last podcast, you just ask God. You just ask. Ask without doubting, it says. And, this really is good news. So next time you're faced with that lie, remind yourself, you know what? This is a lie. I'm complete in Christ. I am complete in Jesus Christ. I have all things, all blessings that are in heavenly places I already have. All fullness of joy is in him. If I need anything, if I'm lacking anything right now, all I know that if I walk in the Spirit with God and I walk uprightly, I know he's going to give me all the good things. Even if I'm going through calamity, even if my world just got turned upside down, he promises that no good thing will he withhold from me. No good thing will he withhold from me. And then, of course, you can count on Galatians 5:22, and you can say, if I'm feeling like I need some peace or some joy or some self-control or faith, whatever it may be, I can ask the Holy Spirit. I can ask Jesus to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I can bear these things. I can bear this fruit in my life. I don't need this item. I don't need this thing from my boss, or I don't need this degree. I don't need this from our relationship. I don't need this. I have everything that's possible in Christ Jesus. I am complete. Lord, I pray that this message would bless somebody, and that they'd be encouraged, and that they would walk with you, Lord, and just protect them from the evil one. And just help them, Lord, and meet their needs, Jesus. I ask this in your name. Amen.